From the first epistle of Blessed Paul to the Thessalonians. Brethren, we give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you continually in our prayers, such memories we have of your active faith, your unwearied love, and that hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, which gives you endurance in the sight of him who is our God and Father. Brethren, God loves you, and we are sure that he has made choice of you. Our preaching to you did not depend upon mere argument. Power was there in the influence of the Holy Spirit and an effect of full conviction. You can testify that we were to you and what we did for you. And on your side, you followed our example, the Lord's example. There was great persecution, and yet you welcomed our message, rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. And now you have become a model to all the believers throughout Macedonia and Achaia. Yes, the Lord's message has echoed out from you, and not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has overflowed everywhere, so that we do not need to speak a word. Our friends themselves tell the story of our journey and how we first came among you. They describe how you have turned away from idolatry to the worship of God, so as to serve a living God, a God who really exists, and to wait for the appearing of his Son from heaven, Jesus, whom he raised from the dead, who is our Savior from the vengeance that is to come. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven, he said, is like a grain of mustard seed that a man has taken and sowed in his ground. Of all seeds, none is so little. But when it grows up, it is greater than any garden herb. It grows into a tree so that all the birds come and settle in its branches. And he told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman has taken and buried away in 3 measures of meal, enough to leaven the whole batch. All this Jesus said to the multitude in parables and would say it in parables only, so fulfilling the words which were spoken by the prophet. I will speak my mind in parables. I will give utterance to things which have been kept secret from the beginning of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. One of the things that St. Paul underscores in his epistle to the Thessalonians is the reality that they had the joy of the Holy Spirit. The joy of the Holy Spirit is not to be understood as the Pentecostals or as a liberal Catholic might believe, but the joy of the Holy Spirit, as St. John Chrysostom indicates, its benchmark is the fact that there is an uncontainable happiness in the midst of sorrow and tribulation. That's an indication that your joy is coming from the Holy Spirit, the fact that it is not the human joy that comes only when things are good, but it is a joy that comes only when things are bad. And so St. Paul remarks that the Thessalonians, under great persecution, were rejoicing because they were indeed influenced by the Holy Spirit brought to them by the Apostle Paul. And of course, along with him was Timothy and Silas. Now, I remember St. Paul and taking the persecution that occurred in Philippi had moved to Thessalonica, and the same dynamic that we often see today, the enemy is not very original, but the enemy uses the same techniques when he is unhappy. And what happened in Philippi happened in Thessalonica. The Jews had gotten all of the people together so that they would go out into the street and protest what Paul was doing and then start doing violent things, which would, of course, get the officials in the city to make certain that the so-called agitators were run out. And so Paul would have to leave Thessalonica, and this letter would be written only 20 years after the ascension of our Lord. This letter would be written to the Thessalonians. And so Paul makes it clear, and this is why Paul wanted indeed to evangelize Thessalonica, because it was such an important city. It was one that was on the trade routes. and exactly what Paul intended happened by virtue of his being inspired by the Holy Spirit, that so many people would encounter these people, these Thessalonians, who were so different than everyone else in Thessalonica that people marveled at them. And so what they possessed, others wanted. And that great joy, especially in time of tribulation, time of sorrow. It should be noted that the Catholics in Thessalonica were poor. They were poor. And that's one of the benchmarks, of course, of the ability to have joy. The Catholics who have become so worldly in modern times are worldly because they like money. They like comfort and convenience. And as a result, they compromise on the faith in order to have money, comfort, and convenience. Wealth is a curse. It is not a blessing in many cases for the spiritual life. It can be a blessing if one's spiritual life is ordered. But the problem is, as our Lord says, it is more difficult for a camel to get through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to get into heaven, because money corrupts in the sense that people begin to live for the world instead of for heaven. And that always engenders a joylessness. People who live for the world are never truly joyful at the heart. They are joyful perhaps superficially when things go well, but they are the worst people to be around when things go poorly. And oftentimes, these are the same people that have enough money, but they always want more. They have enough of a house with their 1.2 children, but they always want more. They always want more, and they live for themselves. And the problem in modern times is that too many Catholics live exactly like the pagans or the non-believers, the atheists. Sometimes you cannot tell a difference between a Catholic and an atheist by the way they live their lives. There is no difference. Our Lord speaks of the reality of the mustard seed and the yeast. It's not to be caught up in the liberal Catholic notion that the church is a big tree where everybody's welcome. It's to be caught up in the fact that this tiny seed, once it begins, it grows and affects things that are much bigger than as it began. The church herself would begin with the 11 faithful apostles in the upper room with our Blessed Lady Mary Most Holy on Pentecost. And look what it would grow into. There was a time when the yeast of the church had affected everything that was Europe. Of course, those days are long past because too many Catholics have embraced the joyless life of secular living, of living for entertainments. They find no joy within themselves, so they must constantly entertain to find joy. That's why Halloween is such a big holiday now, where people decorate their trees as though it were like Christmas, because they're so desperate for joy. And they go from one holiday to another, hoping to find and manufacture joy, which of course is always in its secular way, so superficial and so fleeting, cannot be held on to. It's not enduring. And they go from one thing to another. Hence, on December 26th, they take the tree down and start thinking about Valentine's Day. Got to find joy, got to find some meaning. Without God, there is no joy, there is no meaning, there's no purpose. And again, too many Catholics are living that way. Too many Catholics are living joyless lives. And this, of course, comes from a not true understanding of what God is affording us. You know, we're so caught up because of our understanding of love in modern culture. It's so self-centered and so self-absorbed that people would marvel in an inappropriate sense when, according to the Knox version of Scripture, St. Paul says that God loves you. Now, most people take that to mean that God accepts me as I am. But authentic love is always what is seeking what is best for the other. So, as St. Thomas Aquinas teaches, God's love for us is not simply that we exist, he loved us into existence, but despite the fall, God still wants the beatific vision for us. He wants only good for us, and this is the benchmark of love. True love would never consign someone to a life of sin. True love would never tolerate sin. True love, when it is authentic and true, calls the person to improvement, calls the person to growth, and does not simply accept the person as he is or share in the horror of sin and objectify another human being, as we see in our sexually obsessed culture today. These are not benchmarks of authentic charity, authentic love. And so many Catholics, because of contraception, 82% of Catholics believe that contraception is agreeable. Because so many Catholics have embraced that sin in particular, they now live loveless lives, fulfilling exactly what our Lord said, because men will grow so wicked, their hearts will grow cold. They will be incapable of authentic love and only capable of pride, which is self-love, and everything is about the self. And so the faith is not spreading as a result of too many Catholics living this way. The faith is not spreading because there are also Catholics who live the opposite way that are the most joyless people you'll ever meet because the world is so bad. I heard it remarked that the Pope had one of his famous interviews again. And this time he was criticizing young Catholics for liking the traditional Mass. And it's interesting to think about that reality because he says they are rigid. And he says they're all hiding something. And that's the only reason they'd be going to the traditional Mass. Now, besides this being a reflection of the woeful theological training that South America is famous for, the fact of the matter is, the Pope at some point probably encountered those nasty, joyless, rigid, traditional Catholics who probably only wrote him letters about what he was doing wrong when he was the Archbishop of Buenos Aires, who probably only complained about how bad things are, never showing him joy. And his own memories of his youth may also impact that. But the bottom line is, it is joyless Catholics who create great difficulty. It is said that the infamous and villainous Marshal Tito, he rejected the church because he had made a mistake at Mass and the priest slapped him across the face at the Holy Sacrifice. And Marshal Tito rejected the faith, and we know what he became. There's something about those little things, especially when it comes to joylessness, that can be far more effective, or shall we say disaffective, when it comes to people whose faith is weak, which is why, of course, St. Paul advocates that we be patient with those whose faith is weak. The same can be said for those small experiences of joy where we are surprised by someone being so joyful in the face of tragedy or in the face of sorrow. And we, because we have invested ourselves in the world, when something inconvenient happens, we often don't handle it well. We often complain and cry out or talk about only the negative and get caught up in how bad things are, not realizing that we have it exceedingly well compared to those who have nothing. And God has blessed us with what we have for a reason, not only so that we can indeed make a difference in the world by virtue of the assets that we have, but we can actually help those who have not on a personal level, not simply trusting some government agency or even, unfortunately, some questionable church agency to do so, which is why there's no second collection for the Catholic Campaign for Human Development at this parish because of the horror of what happens with that particular organization. But consider the reality of even that, where Catholic Relief Services or Catholic Campaign for Human Development have compromised with contraception and abortifacients being given by those very agencies because they have invested in the joylessness of the secular life. And because there's no real joy, because there's no knowledge of the good things that God offers that are beyond our comprehension in this life, too many people are like the Sadducees, living for this life and this life alone, even within the church. And therefore, we try to create heaven on earth in the church, and we try to deny the power of sin. We try to overemphasize mercy as though contrition is not necessary, and God gives mercy no matter what, as though he were the Protestant false God, which, of course, he is not. No, we must be mindful of ourselves. It is a delicate balance that we are called to walk, but Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians proves to us that it is possible to cooperate with grace. The joy of the Holy Spirit does not necessarily mean we are constantly smiling and happy like some hippie from the 70s where everything is so artificial and probably even induced by drugs. But the reality is we are called to be joyful within so that the charity reflects without. We may not be smiling when sorrow and tragedy befalls us, but interiorly we know that God only wants what is good for us, our salvation, and therefore in some way or at some point, we will come to realize that this has happened for our benefit. And we come to realize that we do not know what goodness is until we actually see evil. And this is a consequence of Adam and Eve being awash in evil by virtue of their succumbing to the serpent's temptation. Too many Catholics are joyless. Too many Catholics are constantly complaining about how bad things are. Too many Catholics are caught up in the world and they've forgotten the Christ who has conquered everything. So let us be mindful of what our Lord says with regards to the mustard seed and the yeast. Ultimately, he is the initiator of everything, and we are to cooperate and be his instruments to that end. And therefore, you in particular, as laymen, can influence the world in very small ways in the corners in which God has placed you, and then you can introduce what God desires to be introduced, the power of the Holy Spirit to convert. You do not convert, I do not convert others to the faith. It is the Holy Spirit that does so. And we are to be his instruments, and you are to be his instruments in the world, and you don't have to do some grand heroic plan to rescue the world in the largest sense, which is what the devil would want you to think you're supposed to do, but rather submit yourself to God's profound will and let yourself be the one who introduces in a small way the reality of the life of Christ into the world so that the power of the Holy Spirit will allow it to continue to grow. You will simply be the instrument. You will be the one who sows the mustard seed. You will be the woman who introduces the wheat into the three measures, which, by the way, is a large amount of flour. You will be the ones who introduce that into the world. And then find joy in Christ Jesus, just as the Thessalonians did, so much so that people were impressed by them. And people were converting to the faith, not because they were talking about how bad the world is, but because they showed how good Christ is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.